We turn now to our reading, which is on the news sheet or on your phone if you use that, or on a Bible if you're at home. But if we all turn to that, that's very helpful. So Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everybody. More than what I thought it was going to be on a bank holiday. It's very nice. Let's pray before we open up God's word together. Heavenly Father, we pray now that you would help us understand these words. Lord, help us to know more of what it means to live a spirit-filled life as we submit to each other. Lord, we pray that we would leave here wanting to serve you wholeheartedly, wanting to give you the glory in all that we do. Lord, we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome online if you're listening as well. Good to have you with us. I'm Rob, if you don't know who I am. Again, just a member of this lovely church. So this morning we're going to be talking about living the new life at home and at work. At home and at work. Now, you might be thinking, not right now, please. Family's just a little bit messy, a little bit hard work. You know what I mean? We might think, let's not really talk about work. You know, especially the year that we've had, the stress that we've had. Maybe you're just thinking the week that you've had. It's a Sunday. I just want to focus on Jesus. So let's not just swerve work this morning. Let's not go there. And we can come to these verses and think that this is the last thing that I need. I don't need another list over my head of do's and don'ts. I don't need any more added pressure on my life right now. May I just say, let's look at these verses through a lens, through a certain lens. It's the gospel, through the lens of Jesus. Remember, we're in the part of Ephesians where we're talking about the new spirit-filled life. Yeah? What it looks like practically to live the new spirit-filled life. We were dead in our sins. We were alienated from God. But because of his great love, his incomparable riches of his mercy, we are now brought in, we're made alive in Christ. Yeah, that's the gospel. We have a new heart, we have a new desire, we have a new spirit-filled life that's committed to each other, the church. So what does it look like for us this morning? It means submission. It means submission. Just look back in chapter 5, if you can, verse 18. If you can't, then just listen carefully. So back in chapter 5, verse 18, Paul has said this: don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, songs of the Spirit. Sing and make music from the heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So, in other words, this new Spirit-filled life, this Jesus-filled life, is to be one that is submitted to one another. So then what Paul does is he gives us three examples. So last week we looked at marriage, how husband and wife submit to each other. Now this morning he shows us what it's like at home with parent and child and what it's like at work with slave and master. And yes, we will talk about that, don't worry. So take a breather this morning, because these commands are something that, yes, we will fail at times, but it's something that in the new life, by the Spirit, we will grow into with his help. So let's have a look then. Living the new life at home. First thing we see, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Verse 21, just sounds so easy, doesn't it? How lovely. Children, obey your parents. That's to say that the children obey because Jesus wants them to obey. Yeah. So that what drives their obedience is a heart of worship, or should be a heart of worship, to Jesus. So they don't obey begrudgingly or just because they have to. They obey you as your parent because they love Jesus. For this is right. Yeah. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he quotes the fifth commandment, and then Deuteronomy, brings them together. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy long life on the earth. It's a way of saying that when a child submits and obeys to sound parents, it's going to go well for them. They'll reap the benefits from a close-knit family. There'll be physical, emotional, spiritual, maybe even financial support. It means that it's going to go well for them. Yeah, that's what it means. It's going to go well. And so there should be a good, healthy, honouring and respectful obedience from the child to the parents. One, because of all that they do for you, kids, that they're in. And two, because God has given them authority over you. Children, obey in the Lord. And you're probably thinking, right, okay, what planet are you on? You know, when does that ever happen? Well, it doesn't, does it? You don't just click your fingers and that happens. Oh, look at my golden child that we have. You know, it just doesn't happen. I like to say about the way I think about Nora is that, said in the early service, she is a sweet bundle of total depravity. Yeah? She is a beautiful little bundle of selfishness. Yeah? And hard work. She's going to order, she's going to command, she's going to try and rule the roost. Yeah? That's just the way they work. They're going to make you aware when they don't want to do something. And they're going to make you aware when they want you to do something. They're going to lie. They're going to steal. They're going to cheat. They're going to betray. They're going to fall. And they're going to fail. And so cultivating a heart that respects parents out of a love for Jesus is probably, well, it's not probably, it is, going to take a whole lot of patience, prayer, commitment, wisdom, and it will seem like a lifelong battle. And so here, we see the next thing that comes into it, the second thing we see. Fathers, build up in the Lord. So children, obey in the Lord. Fathers, bring up in the Lord. Just look at verse 4. We've got the sort of do's and don'ts of what to do with your child. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. So parents have been given a God-given authority over their children. And I suppose the question is then, what do we do with this authority? What do we do with it? And I think we can so easily go one or two ways with this. We can either abuse the authority that we've been given, or we can neglect the authority that we've been given. We can abuse our authority. This means like sort of being a bit of a control freak. It's so easy to want your child to just relive your life. Yeah? You want your child to like the same things as you, do the same hobbies that you used to do, be the kind of person that you used to be, like the same music, and dare I say, even like the same clothes. I don't know why we expect that, but, you know, this sort of parenting, abuse of authority, can stop the child from being their own person and having their own little quirks. Another way is, can we just be constantly nagging, constantly getting at them all the time? Just snap, 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 snap. Just barking orders left, right, and centre because you're the one that's in control. Meanwhile, the child is left feeling somewhat deflated, hurt, frustrated, constantly just down, trapped even. There are many, many other ways we can provoke our children to anger. And then there's the other side, where we just sort of neglect them. We just sort of step aside and leave them to it, becoming more and more popular. We turn a blind eye, we just sort of laugh it off. And I've got to be honest, this is probably something that I struggle with so much. So Nora, my two-year-old, she's just got this beautiful, cheeky face when she's doing something wrong. And I struggle so much to hold it together in those moments. I really, really do. But I've got to be careful. I've got to be careful because it's my role to discipline them, to correct them. I don't want Nora to go to school undisciplined and put more pressure on the teachers and expect them to teach my child obedience. It's not the school's responsibility, it's the father's, it's the parents'. Fathers, do not exasperate or provoke to anger your children. Don't neglect your authority, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. To Christian parents and even grandparents here, be God to your children. You are God's ambassadors to them. You are a real, tangible, physical image, both of God's authority and love. It's a God-given authority, and it's there to provide unconditional love when they fall, unconditional support when they need to rise. And they can depend on you as a father, and you can help them flourish. Fathers, it is your responsibility. It's your role. It's your duty. Fathers, bring up in the Lord. You lovingly, carefully, tenderly nourish and teach your child in the way of the Lord. And nothing can replace that. And I say that as a youthy leader, as a youth group leader. It's not first and foremost my role to raise your kids in a Christian way. It's the family's role. It's the parents' role. It's the father's role. I will do my best as a youth worker to support and help and come alongside as much as possible as I can. It's a God-given role of the father. So how is this going to look practically? How's that going to look? It's going to be hard. Yeah? It's going to be hard, and it's going to be messy. It's going to be awkward. And it's never going to happen the way you want it to happen. It's going to be hard work. And it's going to mean deepening relationships. It's going to mean having awkward conversations, hard conversations. But do it all with a loving authority towards them. Just to say quickly, there's other ways in which you can do this. You can either use resources as parents to help teach your children. You know, there's resources, Faith in Kids. Go on the 10 of Those website. Go on the Good Book Company website. There's resources where you can come alongside, activities that you can do, different things like that, which will help teach the Bible. You can use church. Encourage them to come to church. There's a group, we should be, a group that is speaking the truth in love to one another and reaching out to people. Use circumstances. Use life. Everyday moments of life in the car, after cricket, around the dinner table to speak Jesus, to encourage them and to help them. In the victories, praise Jesus. When they make mistakes, when they fall, be gracious, be tender, be kind, be merciful, and point them to the cross. When they hurt you, which will happen, forgive them as you've been forgiven. And it will seem like a lifelong battle, and it will be hard, and it will be painful. But yet, by God's grace and by God's Spirit, we have a role. We have a role to teach our children and bring them up in the Lord. So children of the Lord, children obey in the Lord, Lord willing. And parents, bring up your children in the Lord. That's the Spirit-filled family. We might not be there, but it's something that we aim at. So we're gonna stand and sing in a moment. Well, now, to be honest. We're going to stand and sing a song called From Heaven You Came. And this is a song where it talks about Christ's servanthood. So Christ coming down to willingly serve us. And so this is something that we are to adopt for ourselves. So let's not sing, let's listen. Thank you.
his hands and his feet. The scars that speak of sacrifice, hands that flung stars into space. Two cruel nails surrendered. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow Him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant.
Okay, so we've looked at what is the second example of submitting to one another, first being marriage, then being in the home. Now we're going to look at what it's like at work. So living the new life at work. Now, their context is a lot different from our context. So yes, the passage does say slave and master, and that's what it is. And I know that as we read those words, it causes a little bit of confusion and a little bit of uncomfortable. You know, we sit uncomfortable when we read those words. So let me just make a comment on that. So whilst Paul, it might not seem like he's condemning slavery here, it doesn't actually mean that he's condoning it either. And he's not saying that it's a good thing or he's happy for it. However, he is speaking into their context. He's speaking into their context and bringing life to it. He isn't writing a political campaign. He's not campaigning against it here. He's speaking to Christians there, and he's speaking into what is a very dark and degrading situation to then bring some dignity and worth and value to it. So you see what they were facing at the time as a slave would be so mundane, so lifeless, so empty, and yet Paul gives both slave and master a new perspective so that when they wake up on Monday morning, well, they've got a new agenda for the day, which is worship Jesus. So although they might not be directly speaking, we might not be in the same context as them, we can still apply it to our working life and to those people who have authority over us or those people who are in authority at work. So living the gospel at work. First of all, slaves, know your masters. Slaves, know your masters. We should be, as Christians, good, honest, genuine, loyal, reliable workers. So as workers, when we're able to, if we're able to work, we shouldn't be called lazy. We shouldn't be called slackers. We should be good, genuine, loyal workers, and probably we should be the best workers, if we can. Verse 5, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favour when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. So do you get the point? We have two masters. So know your masters. Obey your earthly masters. Work hard, not because you want to gain attention for yourself. You know, when they're watching, you want to look good in front of them. But because you worship and serve a greater master. You are Christ's. You ultimately belong to him, and so whatever you're doing at work, you do it all out of worship for him. So the motivation to obey your boss isn't because you just want a promotion, more money, be successful, climb the ladder. Your motivation isn't just because, well, you need to make ends meet. You just have to do it because you need some money. Your motivation is one that's birthed out of a heart that worships and serves God. Serving him from doing the will of God from the heart. The trap that we can fall into as Christians is that when we put more focus on our earthly boss than we do our heavenly boss, that can so often, not always, especially under bad authority, lead us to compromise, lead us to do things that we shouldn't really be doing, just because we want to make a bit more money. So, worship Christ at work. So I don't know what you're, when your alarm goes off on Monday or Tuesday, whenever you're going to go back to work this week. I don't know what your thought's going to be. I was like, oh, the alarm's gone off. Ah, again? Really? Monday? No, not another week. Take this with you, that Jesus cares about your work and how you work. He cares how you make those butties. He cares how you manage the admin. He cares how those parcels are delivered. He cares how that food is served. He cares how that, for that patient. He cares how those toilets are cleaned. He cares how those flags are laid. He cares how those shelves are stacked. He cares how those bins are emptied. He cares how those bed sheets are folded. He cares how those potholes are filled in, and so do we. He cares how that wall is painted. No matter what you do, no matter where you are, no matter what you're engaged in, no matter what work is for you, whether it's paid, unpaid, voluntary, whether it's just things at home, do it for the Lord. Jesus cares. He's interested. And do it for the greater reward. I mean, talk about a perk of the job. Just one of the perks of the job. Verse 8. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one of you whatever good they do. Whether they are slave or free. I mean, that's more than a bonus, isn't it? More than a bonus. Jesus cares about your work. And you can worship him no matter what you are facing. So slaves, know your masters. Work hard for your earthly masters as you would for your heavenly master. Be like what, a little bit like Mo was saying before. You know, leave the fragrance of Christ in your workplace. Leave the fragrance of Christ in your workplace. It's good that. And then lastly, Paul does have a word to say for the earthly masters, and he says this: masters, know your master. Master, know your master. So don't be oppressive. Don't overwork your staff. Look after your staff. Care for your staff. Give them opportunity to flourish as people, but also in Christ, in the faith. So the implications are this: treat your staff in the same way that you would want to be treated, the golden rule. Give them the same love and respect that you give, that they give you, you are to give them. Verse 9, and masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them because of your abuse of power. since you know that he who is both their master and yours in heaven has no favoritism with him. There is no favoritism with him. Yeah? So yes, there's going to be times when you need to discipline. Yes, there'll be times when you need to sort a few issues out. But don't abuse your power. Don't be power hungry. And you might not be the boss, but you might be in authority. You might have certain powers at work, and don't abuse your powers. Don't scare people. Fear mongering. Don't threaten with a P45 all the time. I used to work for a guy as a 17-year-old, 18-year-old, and nearly everything you did, well, that's a sackable offence, that. You've got to be careful. Like, that's a sackable offence, that. You've got to be careful. That's a sackable offence, that. And so, as an 18-year-old that was engaged at the time, saving up for a house and wanting to, you know, move on in life, I was just working with this fear and trembling because of fear of my job. I don't want to get sacked. It's a terrible environment to create for your workspace. No. Nurture. Nurture your staff. Give them opportunities to flourish in life and in Christ. Approach them and help them and care for them. Masters, know your master. And ultimately, your staff, if they're in Christ, don't work for you. Ultimately, they obey you out of a worship for Jesus. So, in closing, these things, they're not just moral rules. I mean, they are good rules that are there for our benefit, but they're there to enable us and help us to live a spirit-filled life. That these things are in place, this submitting to one another, to authority, and submitting to Christ is there to improve and help and build up and fill us up in Christ. That's what it's there for. And so maybe you're here today and you're just thinking, where do I fit into all of this? You know, home life, work life, and all. Whatever you do, tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning, or when you leave, from now on, the rest of your life, no matter what you do, it's for Jesus. You serve him wholeheartedly. You work for him, no matter what you face. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that our life isn't empty. We thank you that our life isn't meaningless. That everything that we do it for Jesus. And Lord, we pray so much that you would come and help us in this. This isn't necessarily something that we're going to master or get right. It's something that we grow into. And so, Father, we pray that as parents, we would learn to love as you love. And Lord, we pray that at work, we would just do everything for your glory. Father, help us by your Spirit. Come into our hearts, into our lives. Fill us with Jesus, that we may leave we may leave people asking questions of what is fueling us, what is making us the way we are, that we can just say it's because of Jesus, because of him, because we worship and serve the King of Kings. So, Father, help us in this, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.